Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Extraordinaire.
This is supposed to be the fantasy half of the show this week, so we'll jump into some actual fantasy stuff. So first up, we got the injury report. So first we got Joe Burrow. He has turf toe. He's going to be out for about 3 months, which is also known as the season. This one's weird. I'm just like, I just rule him out for the season, or they're like trying to give hope to their team. Like, maybe if we win enough games and we make the playoffs, they'll be back. I'm honestly kind of curious about this one. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this? Do you think that's what they're doing?
Sometimes it's for money. They just want to make it seem like he could come back to keep people holding on to their tickets. Bengals ownership is like very notorious for being cheapskates, so I could easily see them holding off for that purpose. But I think it is mostly, yeah, you can't give up if you're a potential playoff team. So I'm sure they'll try to say he's going to come back at the end of the season, but if at the halfway mark and they're not competitive, I don't think they're going to bring him back.
Yeah, and I don't know how they will be in playoff contention in that division, and the fact that with Joe Burrow last year, they missed the playoffs. How the fuck are they going to make the playoffs without him this year? There's just no way. And they are 2-0, though. I mean, that's the first time they started 2-0 in a long fucking time.
It's going to be the Jake Browning show.
Jake Browning's not bad. He's very risky. He's kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick style player. He's going to put up yards, he's going to put up numbers, he's going to put up touchdowns. He's just going to be very turnover prone. So, I mean, he's going to get something out of that offense. But yeah, I don't think they have enough talent to hold up a risky quarterback like that. But you know, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick made the playoffs with the Jets, but what was that, Brendan Marshall and like Eric Decker or something like that?
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Big Dick Decker.
So they could do it. I mean, I feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick's a great comparison and was a little bit what the Bengals have.
Yeah, and also like I just wrote down here, like, turf toe sounds like it would be like I hurt my toe, but apparently I looked into it and it's like you ripped a bunch of fucking ligaments in your foot is what happened to him.
It's like a
that's what they call turf toe? What the shit? That's a weird name.
It's like very
hyperextension of the toe.
Yeah.
And it sounds like since he needs surgery, I'm guessing he tore ligaments, yeah.
It used to be a death knell to players like as running backs in the NFL. So like Lions had some running back in like the early 2010s that got injured with turf toe. He like lost his career because of it. Actually, no, he didn't lose his career. I think it was Amir Abdullah.
No, Amir Abdullah was still in the league as of last year.
Yeah, but he lost a lot of his like explosiveness after he got that turf toe. So like his first like year or two at the Lions, he was very agile and quick and elusive, and like he definitely lost his step. But I think he kind of got it back. It just maybe it takes a couple years to come back from. Hopefully, that doesn't limit Burrow. Maybe science is better now, and it's not going to be as big of a deal. But I know turf toe can be a very bad injury for running backs and receivers.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow's not a running back or receiver, and he's not even a mobile quarterback, so I think he'll be okay when he comes back. But it still sucks. I mean, this is like the third time he's going to miss half a season or more in his not that long a career.
That's a shame. He's one of my favorite players in the league, so to lose him for any more games, and now it's like 2 years that we've had this, yeah, it sucks. He was going to go off this year, too.
Yeah, it kicks me right in the nuts in my fantasy team, but yeah, I just had to write that out because I'm like, turf toe sounds minor. It's turf toe. Oh, I got turf toe.
No.
I bet my fucking toe on the turf. It's like, nah, you ripped fucking ligaments in your foot. But what a strange name for that injury.
You're not going fast with turf toe unless you're taking a lot of painkillers.
Anyways, on to the next injury. So we had Jayden Daniels. He has a knee sprain and he's week to week. So if you got him, Phoebs, you got him.
I do.
You got decisions to make. Probably have a backup ready.
Decisions have been made.
Yeah, okay.
I think they already said he's not playing, right? Or that was pretty.
They might have.
Yeah.
I wrote this up this morning, so they might have said something today. Justin Fields, he had a concussion, so he's week to week again. Just he's got a clear concussion protocol.
I can confirm he is out.
He's out. Okay, so he didn't clear protocol in time.
So whoever's got Justin Fields, listen.
He's not a starter on anyone's team, I don't think.
Yeah, he was.
Dude, our league's weird. I needed a quarterback because I had Burrow, and I looked, and I think there's like three or four starting quarterbacks on the waiver. Like, so many people have three quarterbacks. Yeah. I'm like, you bunch of fucking assholes. You just can't put up three quarterbacks. Don't mention any names. I don't want anyone to listen to this fucking take guy. And, yeah, there's only like three of them anyways, but... Austin Eckler, he had a torn Achilles, so he's out for the season. J.J. McCarthy, again, quarterback, sprained ankle, 2 to 4 weeks. Aaron Jones, hamstring. This is like the 10th time Aaron Jones has injured his hamstring. I feel bad for the guy. But he's getting older. Those hamstring injuries compile, I guess, but they're saying 1 to 3 weeks for him. And then the last one's Packers, Jaden Reed. He broke his collarbone, so he's out 6 to 8 weeks. But I did look into this, and they're also going to deal with that Jones fracture he had in his foot. So it's kind of a... At least there's a gold, there's a silver lining on it, you know.
Does that actually, he's going to get the Jones fracture completely healed? Because I thought that was like...
Yeah.
Okay. That's well, actually probably like, better for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like that was about the same time frame as the collarbone healing. So there's like, well, we might as well do them both. You know, if it's, one's not going to affect the other in healing. And you got to miss 8 weeks anyways, 2 months. Get them both done. And then he'll be fully healthy for hopefully a playoff run at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's actually good for you guys. He should have probably not even been playing. Felt like that injury was kind of concerning.
He looked good, though. He looked fast. It didn't seem to bother him at all in the first two games.
That's one of those injuries that people always aggravate. You know, it's like 3 or 4
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, then they never get healthy again. I would rather, especially, okay, you guys look so...
Jamie, cut out.
Randomly cut out.
Yeah, you're cutting out. We have nothing on Discord.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are. Okay, now it's good.
Yeah, so I'll just, I don't remember where my train of thought was going now. It's all good.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, you want the guy to get healthy or play on an injury. But I mean, the guy wants to play, I guess you have to let him play. It's, I don't know if the coach is going to be like, you have to go do this.
They'll get him back. Like,
you can't injure it more. But I don't think I ever really believe that. Like, you always hear that, like, oh, he can't. And then that player always ends up getting more injured with the same problem. Because for one, you're going to favor something else. You know, if you're not 100% confident in it, you know, you're going to potentially injure some other ligament because you're going to put more stress on it. It is just, I think it's a lot of mental too. So yeah, I think it's just overall better for players to get surgery if it's not going to cost them a season.
Yeah. I mean, it was going to cost them, I guess, 8 weeks. That's why I decided to do it. I mean, it's 2 months, seasons. 4 months, he didn't want to miss half the season. I mean, he's playing to build stats and get a paycheck. He doesn't want to take the hit from not playing. But anyways, yeah. Those are the injuries for the week. So everyone take a minute and pray for those legs.
I'm sending up my prayers. I already prayed for his leg.
And next up, we got fab spending. This one's a little bit weird. I wrote down two separate fab spending sections because people dropped some people that I don't think should have been dropped. I didn't pay attention. A lot of people didn't pay attention. And good players got picked up because other players dropped them. So Thursday, last week Thursday, Jackie picks up Brenton Strange for $8 with no other bids. So she paid $8 more than she needed to. But she dropped Ramondre Stevenson to get him. I get it. He had a shitty week one, but I don't think he's a player you drop after one bad week. Anyways, also on Thursday, Ashley picks up Quentin Johnson, who can catch the ball now, magically, for $7. Next highest bid was $6. That was a good spend. And then Richard picked up Alec Iomanner.
Yeah, Alec Iomanner. He's the number two. Well, he's supposed to be the number two in Tennessee, but he's looked like a number one for Cam Ward. He's got a couple of pretty crazy catches.
Okay, so I get picking him up. But he drops Xavier Worthy to get him. So this is the lead up to the weekend waiver wire pickups where Ashley picks up Xavier Worthy for $17. The next highest bid was 11 by Lee. I don't know, Rich. Like, if someone's bidding $17 on the guy, and I might have bid more than that. And if I had known he was there, but I'm a fucking idiot. I don't pay attention, I guess. Trade him. I mean, he gets something. I mean, maybe you wouldn't have got something better than Iomanner. I don't know. But then, yeah, poor boy picks up Ramondre Stevenson for $6. Nobody else even bid on him. He had a fantastic week. He had like 20 fantasy points. I don't think he should have been on the waiver. I don't think Xavier should be on the waiver either. He's wide receiver one or two from Mahomes.
Because that was actually Vicky's player, and she mistakenly
dropped him before then.
I thought he was going to be out for the season, and or like at least like 8 games, and then she dropped him, and like the next day she's why now they're saying he's going to possibly play tomorrow, and I was like, he probably saw like a speculation report. There was always like some concern, like it might not be as bad or it might be as bad as it was. So that injury, like it went from like 8 weeks to he's probably going to start playing in a week or two. So she got kind of screwed by not reading enough.
Well, maybe she dropped him, Richard picked him up, and now Richard dropped him. I don't know. Or maybe I read it wrong. That's also possible.
I just remember her telling me about it because she's like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have dropped him. She was disappointed in herself. So yeah, you got to read that stuff closely.
Anyways, the lesson to be learned here is pay attention. Don't just pay attention to Thursday waiver. On Thursday, check the waiver wire and see who people dropped, because sometimes you'll be surprised at what gets dropped. And there's value to be had there. I didn't capitalize on any of it. And I needed to.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, we've had that the whole time in this league, though. I mean, there was a year where I got A.J. Brown, and someone dropped him like midway through the season. It was like in his second or third year. And I think I won the playoff or won it that year. And he was like one of the big contributors of my team because he's never been dropped. So I think sometimes people just got to maybe just ask, you know, someone to help too. If you're not that familiar with the game, just be like, hey, is this guy worth dropping? I think everyone here is going to be honest with you, but maybe I'm wrong.
All right. That'll lead us into the old matchup recap. So the first game we had myself versus Carson's. I lose again. 84.04 to 98.44. So I'm picking up right where I left off last season, which is not great. Loveland, he got me a donut in the tight end spot. I don't know what's going on with Loveland. I don't understand why the Bears took a quarterback or a fucking tight end as what were they, the number 8 pick, number 7 pick?
10. I think it was the 10th pick or something.
A top 10 pick. A top 10 NFL draft pick. And you just decide we're not going to use him at all. This is a very strange decision, in my opinion.
Caleb Williams sucks.
I don't know. I guess he probably will not be on my team after waivers go through. We'll see.
Odunze is the only one getting catches there right now.
Yeah. Burrow, my third round pick, gets turf toe, leaves the game, gets me 7 points out for the season. Fantastic. Drake London sucks. Pacheco sucks. Chase, surprisingly with Browning, Chase was still good. Thank fucking God. It's the only person that did anything on my team, and he had like 29 points, which is great. On Carson's side, I was up against Romo Odunze, and he went pretty nuts. He had 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, congrats to Carson's. I mean, I think we were ranked number 1 amongst our consensus power rankings. We should touch back on that in like week. I don't know. Should we touch back on that week 6 or so?
Let's
readjust them and see what we think.
Yeah, week 6 I think would be a good one because that's like a third of the way through the season. We could do like week 6 and week 12.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 12 would be like the playoff power rankings.
Yeah, I'll be getting.
I feel like one right there before the playoffs start. And...
Yeah.
Or we could do week 7 and then right before week 4. Right after week 6 and then right after week. Yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out. Then we had Tiff versus Jim. Tiff wins 101.72 to 81.28. I gotta ask some questions on this one, Jim, because my notes are suspect of you. So Josh Allen, he had a dud, but Cook, he looked electric, and he made up for what Josh Allen didn't do that game. Very good game from Cook. Nico Collins and Trey McBride also had very good games for Tiff, so a lot of points there. And Jim, you had some roster blunders this week. So I don't know if you just didn't trust the Lions players going against Chicago this week, or if you didn't check your lineup in time, or what the situation was.
I forgot to look at it in the morning. I would have put in Goff. I was pretty confident he was going to have a good bounce back game.
Yeah, between Goff, is it Jameson Williams, right?
Yeah.
Jameson Williams. And Kenneth Walker, if you put two of those three on your team, yeah, you would have won that one. And then, yeah, I was surprised when I was checking him midday. I was like, Jim didn't put any of his Lions in against the Bears of all teams.
Yeah, I was messing with my roster throughout the early part of the week, and I didn't even know I had CJ Stroud in. I was kind of debating on it at first, but then I was just like, yeah, I got to go with the Lions against the Bears. I mean, they already had injury concerns with their defense, but yeah, I woke up and it was already sent in. I was like, oh, well, this is going to be really good or really bad.
Happens to the best of us.
I think we should give you the Rod Marinelli Manager Award of the Week on that one.
Rod Marinelli Manager of the Week? I like that.
I don't know who that is. I don't get the
joke. He was the head coach of the Lions during their 0-16 season.
Oh, okay.
He was the head coach to Joe Barry when he was our defensive
coordinator.
Yeah. Funny story, or fact. Joe Barry is married to Rod Marinelli's daughter.
That's how he got that job.
Nepotism at its finest.
How the fuck did he get the job on the Packers? Is he married to someone on the Packers? Just banging one? I don't fucking know. Doesn't make any sense.
Megan LaFleur's daughter. Wait, that might be a little too young.
I mean, now she... I don't know. LaFleur's not that old, though, so yeah, that might have been a no-go. But, yeah, on the flip side, at least Jonathan Taylor looked fantastic. Colts just keep on cooking. I'm curious what you guys think of the Colts. Do you think they're a good team, or do you think this is a good 2 weeks?
Well, let's put it this way. I thought week one was a fluke until they straight up beat the Broncos, and the Broncos aren't a bad team. So I think Indianapolis is probably looking at least an 8-9, 9-8 season or better. But yeah, it's kind of insane watching what Shane Steichen has done to Daniel Jones.
Well, here's the thing. They were, for a while there, kind of around the time they lost Luck, a lot of people thought they were the best drafting team in the NFL. And they had a couple really good drafts back to back to back. And really what's been holding them back is bad quarterback play. Like, replacement level bad quarterback play, probably worse than replacement level when you talk about Anthony Richardson, like how bad he was. So even if you add like a half decent quarterback to that roster, it's probably a lot better than people think just because of how held back they've been over the last couple of years because of quarterback play. So I think there could be a lot of talent on that team. They've always had a pretty solid defense and they've had a really good offensive line for years. And Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the league. So yeah, I think just having a steady quarterback there and Daniel Jones, who's looked really good for 2 weeks, I think is enough to make, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. And I think that's what's going on there with Daniels.
I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line because that was my biggest, they've got, Quentin Nelson on that offensive line. But yeah, even against the Broncos, Daniel Jones had all day to throw. Like, he had a clean pocket almost that whole game. It was insane. Like, wow. Something you never had in New York.
Here's the thing, and people don't like to think of it this way, but football is like the most basic game when you think about it. It all comes down to offense and defensive line play. When you look at the best teams in the league every year, it's the best offensive lines, the best defensive lines. Really not much else matters except for quarterbacks that can like play outside of structure. That's why they're so valuable, because then you don't have to have as much offensive line talent. But like the NFL right now is like the worst it's ever been for offensive line talent. So there's so much disparity between like the top teams and the bottom teams. And I think when you see these teams that do have good offensive lines, and like I said, just put anything behind them like that resembles competitive quarterback play, they end up being great and are being much better than people expect. Yeah, it all comes down to the offense defensive lines. You got to pressure the quarterback and you got to protect the quarterback. It's that simple. They're doing it.
I'm going to be the contrarian opinion. I don't think they're good. I think they've had a fucking hot ass 2 weeks. I don't think this is going to keep up for them. I really don't. Jonathan Taylor is great. I'm not saying they don't have a good O-line, but there's no way Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones is also a replacement level quarterback. I don't think he's better. Maybe better than Anthony Richardson, but that's saying barely anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'll say we've been seeing this, though, like, so much over the last couple of years. Like, look at these quarterbacks, functional franchises. They go to run organization and end up just being way better. I mean,
Baker
is maybe not the best example because the Rams are obviously a very well-run organization. But, yeah, Baker Mayfield, you now have Daniels, who's looked really good. Baker Mayfield might be the best one because do people even realize when he was on the Panthers, they had him lining up as, like, a scout defensive end because they thought he was that worth. And then
later,
he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Like, how bad is your talent evaluation or how bad is your team nucleus around that player? And that's, I think Baker's probably the best example of that because as soon as he went to the Rams, a well-run organization with a good nucleus around him, he ended up looking great and got a huge contract. There was that one, like, comeback win he had that literally got him the contract with Tampa. And now he's looking like one of the better quarterbacks.
That was a Monday night game, and that was, like, right after he signed with the Rams.
You can't tell me that that's what matters more a lot of the time, the player. Like, I do think the player matters somewhat, but I do think that the team around him is way more important. I think that's what Daniels is getting here. Or Danny Dimes. Yeah, Daniel.
Indiana Jones.
I was getting confused with Daniels for a second, but yeah, Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Time will tell on that one. Anyways, back to the fantasy stuff. So we had Lee versus Mike. Lee wins 139.54 to 97.78. Good score by Lee there. 139 is a good ass showing. So Lee, yeah, he had 3 players score over 20 and 8 out of his 9 players scored over 10. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want out of your lineup.
Yeah. Kraft. He might wind up being a top 3 tight end this season. He's been fantastic so far. There are a lot of duds on Tiff's team, but she had a good defensive pick of Seahawks against Pittsburgh.
Mike.
Oh, Lee versus Mike. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Lee doesn't beat Tiff. He always loses to Tiff. Lee beats Mike.
Tiff is probably running Mike's team.
I don't know. Then he'd be doing way better. Yeah, a lot of duds on Mike's team, but he had a good defensive pick of Seahawks against Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers. Herbert's letting it fly this season, which is awesome, because that was, I believe, Mike's second quarterback pick. He had Kyler Murray and Herbert late. And Herbert's looking like he might be a very good value this year. I think I mentioned it in a different podcast episode, but Herbert was like a top 3 quarterback like 2 years ago. And last year was just so underwhelming that he just really fell down the boards. He wasn't even like the top 12 this year.
Actually, I have a funny thing about that. So there's a meme that's been going around for a while. And it kind of ties back to Joe Burrow, and it also now ties back to Herbert. So there was, when the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase, there was this like picture they showed of a quarterback going to throw and an offensive lineman missing the block on a defensive end and tackling him. Chase wide open, but no, Burrow's already sacked. And the next one is showing how they had Penei Sewell in front of Burrow, and then he's throwing to some random no-name guy, and he's catching it. Well, the Chargers did the same thing with Herbert when they Joel to kind of like go, hey, we're going to do this back. Because, again, I think that comes down to got to think about protecting your quarterback every time. But it was a funny meme. I'll have to find it for you guys.
I think I saw the same one.
I did too. Yeah. But yeah, no, it goes back to O-line. O-line's important. You gotta have time to do something.
Oh, Chargers with Khalil Mack. Big elbow injury. I have not seen yet today if how long he's gonna be out, but it looked pretty ugly.
I think they're saying IR already, so minimum 4 weeks, I'm guessing.
I don't know.
Well, that means Herbert's going to throw all the more. The defense takes a step down.
They've been one of the best units in the league so far, haven't they?
They've been very good. They've been very good. The Rams' defense looked very good. And the Packers' defense looked very good. Giants haven't looked that good. They're supposed to be good, but they haven't looked that great so far. But yeah, next match we had Heaps here versus Jackie. Heaps, you won this one 136.8 to 101.7.
Yes.
It's another very high scoring one. Javonte Williams. Son of a fucking bitch. He's the number two scoring running back in the season so far. I shit on him in the fucking car ranks thing. Jim, you shit on him. And he's even you shit on him. And he's the number two scoring running back in the season. That's some bullshit.
I need a running back, and it's like, well, Dallas' starting running back is usually done pretty well, and he's supposed to be the starter. So I'll roll. I didn't have much of a choice when I drafted him.
He was washed. Like, he tore his ACL or whatever. Like, he was really good his rookie year. It just seemed like he's never really got back to, like, that rookie form. So I just thought, yeah, I didn't expect much of him. He's been great so far.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not even just situation. He's actually looked good this year. And he looked, in my opinion, last year he looked terrible. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
He's on the Cowboys, but he sucks. Like, he's not going to do that much. But I'm just like, all of a sudden he's good again. And he, like you said, he did look good for a little while early on. But just he looked bad for an entire season. I was like, the dude's done.
Multiple seasons. Like, he was not really good after his rookie year. And he's, what, 4 or 5 years in the league?
I don't know exactly, but yeah, I can't believe it.
It's also a
seventh round pick, and he's the number two running back in fucking NFL.
One of those things is, like, he was kind of one of those guys that if he gets all the work there, he's probably going to be very valuable because they're going to be a high scoring offense, and their defense got so much worse this year. I mean, I shouldn't say so much worse, it's one player, but I mean, you're losing an amazing player in Micah Parsons, so they're probably not going to be as many, like, low scoring games. It's going to be a lot of shootouts. So if you have that guy, pretty high powered offense, I mean, he doesn't even have to even be a good player, quote unquote. He's going to get a lot of attempts and probably score a lot of touchdowns, which is what he's done so far, right? He's got like 2 or 3 touchdowns.
He's got 3.
He had 2 week 1 and 1 last week.
Yeah.
So if that dries up, maybe he's not as valuable. He's got to keep that touchdown.
Correct. Yeah.
Keep going.
But you guys both said, I mean, volume and a high scoring offense is more important than being skilled, in my opinion.
Yep. What you want in fantasy. That's a lucrative player to have. He doesn't have to even be skillful.
Yep. But he has looked skillful nonetheless. Anyways, so then Malik Nabers, he's just catching Russ's moonballs last week, scoring a boatload of points for Heaps. He had Amon Ross St. Brown in the just thorough ass whipping of the Bears. What do you have? 3 touchdowns?
Yeah.
I talked about it on the last podcast. Yeah.
3 touchdowns. He landed on the 1 yard once too, so he could have had 4.
Yeah. Jackie, she did some good showings from Drake May, Barkley, and Smith and Jigba, but it just wasn't enough. Heaps team went pretty strong this week. Next we had Poor versus Vicky. So yeah, Poor, we all gave him shit for having the old man team, but the old men are still kicking so far. Devontae Adams, Alvin Kamara, they both had great showings. Travis Kelce and Derrick Henry, not this week. But yeah. 2 out of 4, we're good enough to get the win.
I don't remember Derrick Henry having that bad of a fantasy game in a very long time.
Oh.
He had like one right, I think week 2 last year. I remember like everyone thinking he was like done. Last year, like the same thing, but he didn't have such a good week 1. He had like kind of lackluster game and then like a really bad game in his first 2 games. And then he was like the best running back in football for like 10 games. So he does it from time to time.
We'll see what happens. I mean, they decided we got this game anyways, just rest, dude. And
he's got like a unique style too, where he just kind of like runs into the back of the offense. 80. He's got to have some of like the most disparity between like runs in a game. Like he'll have like 5 or 6 like single digit carries, and then like 3 or 4 carries that you know amount to like 120 yards. So he can be a kind of high risk, high reward player, even as a running back.
Yeah, but I feel like it's reward more often than
More often than not.
Yeah.
Well, he is a Hall of Famer, so he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He runs that way, but he's still really.
He does. Yeah. I mean, dude, just when you watch him line up, even like he's like fucking 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, dude, you line up so far behind everybody. But yeah, he just likes to just go full fucking steam ahead. Like, I want to be at full speed. I'll knock the first guy down. And if the next guy doesn't get me, then we're gold.
That's what makes him elite. He just needs to be running straight and fast. Like, he's not going to juke someone out. Like, he doesn't do that. He just Are you going to tackle a 204.4 that's running right at you in your pound safety? You're going to like sacrifice your body to try to stop him. So if he gets to the linebackers and safeties, he's gone most of the time.
Yeah, I'd make sure that dude's got a lot of clean grass if he's coming at me. I'm like, nah, you're good, dude. I don't want to die.
I mean, that's what we should do for the punishment. You have to try to tackle Derrick Henry. We should call him up. Like, hey,
at full tilt.
This is our fantasy football punishment. You get to run in a straight line at the personnel.
Yeah, let's get us in touch with Derrick Henry's people. We'll make this happen.
Yeah,
we'll
get on it right now.
You have to kiss the trophy and then just take one from Derrick Henry.
Actually, it'd be kind of funny. You're sitting there like kneeling. You get the kiss. Derrick Henry's just gonna heck of signing up. He's gonna piss him off more.
But yeah, so Vicky, she had some good games. She had good games from a few people. Mayfield did great. Josh Jacobs did good. Jaylen Warren did good. She's got some good running back performance and quarterback. Vicky's rookies, though, Travis Hunter and Aston Jeanty, they are not getting it going yet. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Travis Hunter gets a lot of targets. Jeanty.
Jeanty's the next trend interested. Right. I'm telling you.
Did you guys see the play of him, like, not even blocking?
Oh, the pass block?
Yeah.
And how bad that is? Like, that would if you benched on the Lions and Packers. I don't think...
Oh, 100%.
And you're Any good coach would bench you for that.
Fifth overall pick? That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, like, such lack of effort. A lot of people are saying that so much more money in college now that we're going to stuff where they're, like, they've already, like, made $5 to $10 million. That's, like... They don't have the same drive probably anymore.
Yeah, they don't have to earn themselves or really prove themselves as rookies when they've already got millions in the bank already.
Yeah. I mean, curious if we're going to see that.
That's insane, though. Just real quick, an average college quarterback is going to cost like $5 to $7 million in NIL. Like, that's just wild now.
That's enough to like retire on, right? So like you guys have enough money to retire. Why would you want to go get your brain scrambled? Especially a running back. Like a running back.
Blocking. You're not going to get a concussion on a block 99 times out of 100 or 999 times out of like that's not when the concussions happen. Generally, you're just blocking.
Linemen get a lot of concussions. So I mean, you're putting your head there. If you get hit the right way, you're gonna get knocked out. I don't know. It's concerning. Like I've never seen like a look that uninterested in a long time. That was concerning to me.
I remember seeing that. I see that highlight and I was like, yeah, he just like kind of walked up and touched the guy and then just backed away. I was like, dude, you didn't even try. Kind of
jogged, like alongside him too. Well, Gino was like rolling out. He's like, oh, I should probably, he ran with him still. And he like, the guy almost sacked Gino.
Yeah. It was strange.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
He is kind of a little bit of like, I don't know. I feel like he would chew him out, but then he's like one of those player coaches. So
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if that was the floor would be fucking screaming at him at the sidelines after that play. Like, dude, absolutely not. That's never going to, you cannot do that to our quarterback.
I don't think there's a single player on the Lions roster that would do that. I don't think they would draft any player that they feel like has any chance of acting like that.
I mean, the Lions are like, dude, even if you're a receiver and you're downfield and the ball's like on the far side, like if you're not fucking running over there and trying to block, you're going to be in fucking trouble. Like you probably can't get there, but if you don't even try, yeah, you're going to get your ass fucking chewed for that. And you might get less snaps the next game. I mean, that was Jameis Williams' issue with his first year. I mean, Dan Campbell was vocal about it. Like, dude, you want the fucking ball? Go down and fucking do the shit I'm asking you to do. Go down and block. Like, everyone needs to be blocking. You don't just get to get a free pass because you're a burner. Have,
like, some slogan that's like, no block, no ball. It's something more catchy than that, but it's literally what it is. Like,
no block, no rock.
No block, no rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do not take that lightly. Like, that is the whole Lions mm-hmm. offense. Like, our receivers are probably some of the best blocking receivers in the league, and they make sure that's the way it is. So, like, running back, same thing. You need to know how to block to be on the Lions, or put effort into it, because most of blocking, especially for, like, those type of skill positions.
Yeah. And I do remember Dan Campbell calling out Williams at one point about it, because I think it was after his first big game. He was like, yeah, well, he finally started blocking, so we decided to feature him this game. So yeah, fucking go block, go do what I'm asking you to do, and we'll get you some stats.
And now that guy has been like down the field running past David on like 60 yard runs.
Yeah,
and he like literally run past. There's no.
Ah, he cut out again.
There's a little cut out there. We'll jump into the last matchup. So we had Richard versus Ashley. Ashley squeaks this one out. Closest game of the week. 100.18 to 97.28. Not a lot of notes in this one. Jordan Love, Gibbs, ETN, they all had a good game for Richard, but mostly duds after that, including Brock Bowers. He had like his first like bad game, really.
Geno Smith had a really bad game. He looked terrible against the Chargers.
When your running back's not blocking, what's going to happen?
He threw three picks, and he probably could have thrown six or seven. It was ugly.
I don't think I watched that one.
Yeah, I know he had a bad game. I didn't see it, though. But, again, the Chargers defense, a lot of people are saying, like, you know, I know the Packers are, like, the big hyped-up one now, and I'm sure Parsons has a lot to do with that just because of the media hype. But the Chargers have been pretty darn good themselves on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
I think Chargers and Rams both have been underrated defense. It's actually, like, a very top-tier defense. But yeah, on Ashley's side, she was led by Mahomes, which is, I guess, the new running quarterback in the NFL. And then Puka, who was just looking fucking fantastic this year. But not quite enough. 4 points is short. And yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Got our matchups.
Puka's awesome. If you want to have any comments on that.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you say? He's just awesome.
He can stay healthy. He's going to be, I think he's going to have like one of those Hall of Fame type career, but he just gets so injured because of the way he plays. So I don't know if he's going to stay healthy his whole career.
We need Stafford to stay healthy too and get another good quarterback for him afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get a quarterback even close to Stafford though.
Mm-hmm. Like, I got a question for you guys. We had a lot of chatter in this at my work league today. We have currently, this trade currently is one veto short of getting rejected, but we have...
Ooh, vetoes suck.
AJ Brown for Jordan Mason.
I don't see any reason to veto that. Anyone who vetoes that should get kicked out of the league. That's my opinion, who vetoes.
Yeah, we get rid of. We don't have vetoes in our league anymore. I don't know if you know that.
Even. Oh no, I
got rid of him like 3 years ago.
Okay,
we had a trade. I mean, Jim trade raped.
If you're dumb enough to accept something, yeah,
Jim trade raped Scooter about 4 years ago. It was Ezekiel Elliott for Jonathan Taylor.
He trade raped Jonathan Taylor
went on to be the rushing leader for the NFL that year.
Oh, but, is that when Zeke started to duck?
Yeah, so a whole bunch of people were texting me and getting pissed off because the trade happened. Like, well, we wanted to veto him. Like, we're not. Then the next year, we're like, we're not vetoing trades. Like, if there was nothing wrong with that trade, it was Ezekiel Elliott, who was, I mean, he was fantastic the year before. And Jonathan Taylor, who was he a rookie that year?
He was like in his second year, I think.
Might have been his second year. I think it was his rookie year.
Because I wouldn't rookie year, didn't he? Had to be his rookie year. Because, yeah, his second year or his third year. And it was kind of that year where.
He was kind of an unknown commodity at the time.
It was right when Elliott was kind of falling off. And then he kind of started.
Exactly, yeah.
And he offered me Jonathan Taylor for, like, Elliott and something else. I'm like,
accepting. I think there was an extra thing in there, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just a straight up trade. It was definitely not a. And I could definitely say people want to veto, but it wasn't like, you know, oh, he just gave me the number one running some useless guy. It was like somewhat okay. But
well,
yeah,
it wasn't at the time. It wasn't. It also wasn't. It was like week two or three of the season. So it was like it wasn't the known running back one for the see, normal running back 27 or whatever Zeke finished out the year as, because Zeke fell off that year. Yep. But he started okay, and he was, I think Zeke was like a top five running back the year before, but you could tell right away, like, his gas tank's running low.
It was, and Jonathan
Taylor was kind of like the opposite, like, oh, this guy's fucking raising fast, like, he's looking real good. But that was the trade. People wanted to veto it, and after that, we decided we're not going to veto trades anymore. The only way a trade's ever going to get overturned is if we suspect collusion, if it's something absurd. Because everyone values players differently.
But it was just, it got brought up after that because people were upset. So we just kind of told them, reiterated, yeah, we have vetoes in our league. Because we had that back when we had the original 9-2-0 league.
Yeah. I mean, that's the default setting, and we had it on. But, yeah, I mean, everyone traded a bunch. There was a lot of trading last year. There's been one trade this year. Oh, I should have put it in here. Whatever, it's too late now. We'll discuss it next week. But, yeah, I mean, everyone values their players differently, especially early in the season. You don't know what you're getting or what you're giving away. It's too early to tell. So there's no reason for that. I mean, if you're going to trade Saquon Barkley for, I don't fucking know, like some random bum on a defense, like you're trying to stack a team, I will override it every time. But that's,
yeah, if there's legitimate collusion,
we've never had that.
Two people thinking they're making their team better.
Yeah, and you don't know. Like, it's like I said, especially early in the season, like we are now.
I'm assuming everyone's just saying because AJ Brown was like a second round pick and Jordan Mason was like, what, probably like a fifth or sixth round pick, maybe later.
Yeah, but now Aaron Jones is hurt. They don't have a good quarterback. Like, Jordan Mason might wind up being a fucking top five running back this season because they're going to have to rely on him heavily. Like, what else are they going to do right now?
He was the number one running back after he took over for Vermic.
And like, I mean, who
freaking out how good he was.
People, yeah, I guess why are people trying to veto it? Like, do they think the Jordan Mason guys, do they think the AJ Brown one was getting ripped off? Because AJ Brown might fucking suck balls this year, in all honesty. Like, the Eagles seem to have no interest at all in throwing the ball.
I think that's just how their game is. I think they're just happy to win games. So I think AJ Brown is probably just going to be inconsistent. So yeah, he's had probably two down games, so he's going to be lower value. And then you have Jordan Mason, who's looking on the up. I feel like the value of him is probably pretty close. Yeah, I'd probably take AJ Brown, but I don't think it's that far off either. So I think it's actually almost a fair trade.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the way I always view trades, it's like you have to base it on current value. Yeah. I mean,
draft day is worthless now.
Yeah. But I mean, potential is, yes, it's there, but you can't be like, well, we don't know. Maybe AJ Brown's just going to have a shit year. We don't know. I mean, yeah, you have to take that trade currently at face value at any point that it occurs throughout the season. But I also, like, now that you guys, you know, now that you're talking about it, I mean, this seems like a really competitive league at this point. So the no veto trade makes sense. Like, I think vetoes only make sense in a league where if, like, half the people are serious and the other half are, like, beginners or something. And you want to prevent, like, a trade rape of some sort.
Trade rape people that are, like, beginners, though. That you shouldn't even be in that league. Like, that league's probably just not even competitive. Like, I feel like, because we built this league with the mindset that we're going to help teach people how to play too, right? Because there's a lot of girls that didn't even know anything about fantasy and or like people who even guys like, you know, lead. I don't think you. And they just learn through playing, right? So like we were going around like, hey, let's try to rip off and, you know, some of the girls. It was always like, how does everyone get better? Now the league's actually doing really well. So you can always make the leagues better too. Just by offering,
like I say,
you
know, Jackie, Vicky, and Tiff all have their names on the trophy now, right?
Yeah.
I think someone might have it on there. Twice. Yeah.
I think she beat me once, and then I don't remember who she beat the other time.
Yeah, she's been on there a couple times, and it's, yeah, it's, I think everyone knows what they're doing enough in this league, and if someone drops out, there's other experienced players that would join this league. So I don't think there's any advantage. We're never going to have a spot again where there's going to be like a complete newbie that would do something super dumb.
Even the stuff that is dumb is kind of what you said today, is like Worthy being dropped or the guy from the Patriots or running back.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I can see it.
Probably shouldn't get dropped, but at least, like, they're not egregious, you know? No. Not like drop Saquon Barkley. It's always something like maybe they're a top of the bench player, not a bottom player is probably the best way I could put it.
Yeah, I mean, no one in this league would drop Derrick Henry because he had a shitty week and be like, oh, I thought this guy was going to be good. He sucks.
No.
And now he's on the waiver.
Definitely not.
Stevenson's a different situation. He's not that caliber of player. I mean, and he had a terrible week one, and you're like, eh, he was my fucking eighth round pick, and I like the rest of my bench, so who do I drop? Oh, I'm going to drop Stevenson, I guess. It's fair.
Still think Henderson's going to be the top option.
Maybe. We'll know by the end of the season, I guess. I don't know. I think that's about it. Anyone got some parting words for anybody, for the listeners?
Thanksgiving is going to be a hell of a good time.
Hell yeah.
Yes, it is.
for two out of three of us.
As much as I hate the Packers, like, the most enjoyable thing is getting to beat the Packers, and the worst thing is the Packers. So it's going to be a good one. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that game. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope the Packers stay and the Lions both stay very competitive and stay healthy so we can have a fun rivalry going on this season.
Yeah, I want another fucking ass whooping like we've won this person.
Every time you guys beat like... us lately, though, you beat us like really bad. But remember, we've won a lot more than one in the last couple years, right? We're like 6 years.
I think we had talked about it with Thieves in the last episode. I was like, dude, this every 2 weeks. I finally feel like we might be the best team in the division again. Because for the last 3 years,
no,
we were kind of riding on hope and a bit of delusion of being like, nah, we can beat the Lions. We're the better team. It's like, eh, we're not the better team. We all fucking know it. But we could beat them still. And that we can always still beat you. But it's like, yeah, they're clearly fucking better than we are right now. Finally, after 3 years, I have that hope again of, I don't think it's delusion this time. I think it's actual, legitimate.
I think you guys have every right to be excited. I think you're a little too, like, amped up at all fans.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yo, I'm going to keep used to that one. But, like, you're going to be excited. Like, last year, the Lions looked like one of the best teams of all time, and I was praising them to be one of the best teams of all time because, you know, DVOA, they were, I think, what, fourth in DVOA at that point all time compared to, like, the best teams ever. And
probably.
I was hyped up, and then obviously the whole thing fell apart because the defense got hit. Like, that's everything with seasons too. It's not even always about like what the team has. There's so many injuries that can happen to Lions and Packers. So like, it's like I said, I hope we stay healthy, and I hope we can have a really fun. I'd rather battle out with the Packers for that number one spot in the division than last year, and that was a lot of fun too. But I know that if we beat the Packers like we beat the Vikings last year for the division, that's going to be almost as good as the Super Bowl.
All right. Any parting words from you, Heebs?
No, actually, I got nothing.
Okay. Well, then we'll call her there. Thanks again for listening, everybody. And we will end it as we always do with the Jameis Winston, quote of the week.
Jameis Winston.
Jameis. God damn it. I don't know why that's so hard for me.
Jameis.
Jameis Winston, quote of the week. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Popeyes. It's the official wing of watching football. Let's eat one. Let's eat some wings.